With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Paul Jones does radio for the Raptors, getting ready for a huge one tomorrow night in Philadelphia. And this series is getting, I think, you know, really good all of a sudden. And I think the reason for me, Paul, is Embiid. I you know, what I sensed in that game two, this is just me, I felt like, you know, Siakam was getting the rock and he would, you know, put his head down and you know, determine that he was going to go for it and go into the paint and try to get to the rack. Try to get a good, you know, shot within 3 feet or whatever and go in and challenge Embiid. And I just don't think that plan worked out very well. He looked, you know, troubled by the big fella in the paint. I thought Embiid had a big factor in that game. Even though he was sick and only had 12 points, I thought his, you know, shot alterations and everything else were a big difference.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think Pascal helped out by, as you said, trying to put his head down and get in there when, you know, what was open was the mid-range stuff, and that's what, you know, that's what he could have taken. And I wonder if we'll see that tomorrow night, if that matchup stays the same. And, like, you know, right now, I think both teams got to be feeling like we're okay. I mean, the Raptors, you know, shoot 35% or whatever it was in game two. You could not have put Danny Green in the gym by himself in the last 2 3-pointers he missed. I mean, guy's the second best 3-point shooter percentage wise in the NBA this year. He's got 2 wide open looks and neither of them go down. I mean, Toronto's saying to themselves, well, look, if we make a few more shots, we win that game, because, you know, we really kind of held on to Embiid, Simmons. You know, we you know, nobody really got, Jimmy Butler got loose, but I mean, we make a few more shots, we win that game. And Philadelphia saying, well, you know, we're not great on the road, but we got one in Toronto. And Embiid and Simmons still really haven't played that well. We're coming home. Our role players are going to be more comfortable. We've got home court advantage. So I think both teams are kind of saying we're okay, and we'll see who's okay after tomorrow night and who becomes suddenly desperate on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. Paul Jones, Raptors Radio, with us on CBS Sports Radio. I agree with you. And on Green, he, you know, in my view, because he is a great shooter, he just had a bad night. I mean, he was 1 of 8 from the floor. He had a bad night. And to me, you know, he only had 3, whatever. He hit 1 3. He was 1 of 6 from downtown. If you're, you know, cold like that, it is what it is. It's just an off night. But I've always believed you got to keep shooting if you're a shooter. If you're a scorer, you've got to keep firing. There's obviously something wrong with his J last, you know, the other night. It was just like maybe not releasing it high enough, whatever. Just maybe he was just off by a half inch, his release, whatever. But the only way to me for a shooter, a guy like him that's just a pure shooter, is to just keep shooting.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, you start running into trouble when you start turning down shots. And, you know, that messes up all of the timing of the offense, the rebounding, the defensive balance. You can't turn down shots. And, you know, there's the old adage, if you're a shooter, the next one's going in. You know, make till you miss, miss till you make. You just keep firing away. And look, they're going to need him. They had a solid game two solid games out of Kawhi Leonard. Kyle Lowry was good. Pascal was good in game one. Could have been better in game two. But Danny Green really hasn't made shots the way they would have hoped. And if they're going to take the ball out of Kawhi's hands and the Raptors are going to move the ball, he's going to get some open shots and he's got to start knocking them down.
Do you think that so far, do you give Gasol, like, what grade from, you know, because game one he was burying shots. I saw him hit a big 3, making plays. And then I thought game two, he was, you know, invisible. He did nothing. And he's too big and physical. And especially drawing out defenders out to the three because he can nail that three. And also that high pick he lays. He likes the pick and roll from up high. To me, he did nothing in the game the other night. And they got to get more out of him because he's a monster. And if he's not going to get physical and do anything, I think they're in trouble.
I think that's something that the Raptors quietly worry about, that, you know, that Mark, I mean, he's such a good passer, such a good facilitator of the offense. They play that two-man game with him and Lowry. It's like the two old dudes at the park that couldn't jump over the credit card, but they're carving you up, and by the time you look, you've lost 11-0. And I think there's a quiet concern there when Mark is not aggressive, when he, as we talked about, turns down shots. I mean, he's a great passer. I think he's got to take the shots that are presented to him. And I think that's one of the things to do. He's done a good job defensively, a great job defensively on Embiid. But I think the other part of that is going at him a little bit on the offensive end. Or when you know, everybody switches these days in the NBA. When you get a mismatch and you get a switch, go down in the hole, low hole, walk whoever it is down there, and go to work on it.
I think, Paul Jones with his Raptors Radio on CBS Sports Radio. I got to tell you, I think they've done the Raptors a great job so far in these two games on Simmons and Embiid, frankly. Now, I don't even want to get into the whole he had the, you know, stomach virus or whatever else, because I still thought he had a huge, like I told you before, piece of that game, like whether it was his perfect at the line, whether it's his rebounds, whether it's his dimes or his block shot. I still thought he was a factor. But to me, the Raptors have done a great job on Simmons. I mean, if he has 6 points in a game, because he gets to the rim a lot, and he either finishes or distributes and gets buckets, he makes plays. And for some reason, I thought they've clamped down on him pretty effectively. But if they go to Philly and let Embiid and Simmons get going, they're going to have problems.
Well, that's the fear. And that's a great point. That's the fear that – and that's why I said Philadelphia. I mean, the Raptors are saying, hey, look, we could have won both games. We've had Embiid and Simmons under control, and Tobias Harris for the most part. But Philadelphia is saying, well, look, we got one at your joint. We haven't played well yet. And I think the key for Toronto is to keep forcing the turnovers. Philadelphia had 20 turnovers in game two, led to 24 points. And that's been the MO for the Raptors playing the Sixers this whole season. Simmons in the regular season, he turned it over, and the Raptors were able to take advantage. The team turned it over. For the most part, Toronto's taken advantage. The Philadelphia cleans that up, and they're more comfortable, and they play a little better at home. They have every reason to be optimistic.
I got to tell you, real quickly, Dallas just scored again 4-1 now on the Blues, and they're opening it up in Big D tonight. They just scored on a little mini 2-on-1 break on a beautiful goal. So let me ask you, Paul, the bottom line is this. Do you feel like when you're watching Butler play and Kawhi play, because they both were about the same in terms of the 24 shots, 22 shots, both of them hitting, from downtown, both of them just extravagant players that, you know, get it all done. Butler had the 10 boards, 5 dimes, a steal, a block shot, only 2 turnovers. He was incredible. When you're doing the games, when you're watching the games and you see these two going at it, how much do they kind of reflect each other? It's like looking in a mirror almost.
They're both kind of old school, you know, in that sense. They're just no nonsense, hard-nosed, play both ends of the floor. And I think that's what they pride themselves on. And, you know, there are times when they get matched up in the game and they look at the other guy in the eye. They know who's across from them, whether it doesn't matter who's on offense, who's on defense. And I think it's a great matchup. The issue with the NBA now is you don't get to see some of those things a lot because there's so much switching on ball screens now that whenever somebody wants to play against somebody else, they just call for a screen, they get the switch, and they go to work on what they feel or hope is an inferior defender. But those guys both have a lot of heart, a lot of toughness, and they're the kind of grit and grind players that not just score but impact the game on the defensive end.
So tonight, Mafia and I, what was it, Mafia, about 13 in the second half? Both scoreless in the first half in a championship showdown, the two best teams in our league. Mafia and I pouring in 13 in the second half and getting active on the glass. You like those kind of numbers, Jonesy?
I do. What kind of glass you getting, offensive or defensive?
I got one offensive and went strong against some trees to go up for the follow, and it rolled off in and out, and I was very upset with that. And then, but later I hit a three.
Did you complain for a foul?
No, I got teched up later, though. A guy elbowed me in the chest on a drive, and I told the ref that his mother was a hink, and then that got me teed. And then, but we did win the game by 12. Very strong finish. Mafia coming up big, and Pharrell with the dish to Mafia from the baseline into the paint for a little 12-footer. He did a little stop and pop shopping, little one time in and out, get your groceries and go.
Was it a road win or not? Have home court or not?
I don't even know. We play in the same place every week. A bunch of rich people that complain. And listen,
the 5:30 businessman league. I love it.
I'm telling you. At least I'm still playing at my age. I'm surprised I have game and hair. But I'm like that credit card line you used. Hitting them. It's those two old guys hitting all them shots. They can't jump, but they can hit those J's. Hey, Jonesy, good luck tomorrow night in Philly. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother. Should be fun.
My pleasure, man. Take care.
I like Jonesy. Paul Jones, radio guy with the Raptors up in Toronto. They got a big game tomorrow night in Philly.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.